Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
My nose hurts.
So you
guys
got
decked in the face yesterday pretty hard.
Oh, really?
Really? Yeah, I feel like the soreness of the cartilage.
Oh yeah.
Right here, like just
that's where my brand new cartilage is.
Too. That's what I'm being told.
I don't feel like it's broken.
I heard a crunch one time and I thought it broke because I heard when the guy punched me direct in the face, and I have to check all the time if things are broken. My coach goes, if you can talk, your jaw's not broken.
There's
but I'm like, it hurts really bad.
If I pinch. You might have.
If I hurt it, it hurts more.
Yeah.
Wait, since your nose isn't even a bone, if you're not technically breaking a bone, you're just breaking the cartilage?
Something
right?
Like that. But like, what are you doing when you're like resetting it? And I see people twisting.
Oh, I've never
cracks.
Done that.
I see people do that where it's in movies and stuff, but like you can't. I watched a movie the other day,
I can
actually.
I feel like moving around.
Apparently there's no nose bone. It's just like a hole.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Then you have cartilage.
It's cartilage. It's like really hard cartilage.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, this is supposed to move. This is all brand new for me. Actually starting right here all the way to that. Like this right here used to be really like floppy and nothing, but now it's like there's something there because they put new cartilage in, and then they put new cartilage right here inside the
tip of
my
nose. So that's what you're talking about when you're like, don't break my nose.
Yeah. Yeah. Because this has all been reconstructed. So.
Oh gosh.
Honestly, after the fight, I'm kind of already accepting it. I feel like I'm going to have to get another rhinoplasty or a septoplasty.
Now, is this going to make you go easy on him?
Well, is the podcast started already?
No, we haven't introduced it.
Oh, okay.
I'm waiting to introduce
it. I was like,
we can lead in with casual conversation and introduce it. Like, okay. We could already have started it if you want.
This is the alternative episode.
Yeah.
Indie art.
Well, I'm scared dad
listening
will.
To. Yeah, dad's going to go ham on you.
I just hope dad doesn't. I just want him to go easy on the nose because.
Now, hearing that, do you think when you tell dad that Matt wants dad to go easy on the nose, is dad going to go easy?
That I wouldn't know. Dad is a robot, and I don't know what they're pumping in him and programming they're giving him. He doesn't have all his emotions either. I mean, it would have been easier if you were fighting me, but now you're fighting this robot.
Yeah, well, I thought I was fighting you. And
I thought so, too.
And I'm really, I extend my sincerest apologies for that diss track, because if I had done more, you know, if I had known that I was fighting dad and not you, I would have never made that diss track. And I just, everything I said in that, it was just a joke. So you don't even, just don't even ever watch it again.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone stop watching it. Just watch.
Still up
the dad
and monetized
video.
Though.
Yeah. Still making money.
Okay.
But I forgot that I can't get into my account right now. I got locked. But I hope
that
dad
might be because the YouTube server that runs the dad channel might have logged in and they might be taking over your channel. They do that a lot.
I don't know.
It's a manipulative
I just can't
place
get in
over there.
And it's still monetized, but I tried to demonetize it.
Oh, you can't get in to turn off the monetization.
Yeah, yeah. I can't even get in and take it down. I would have taken it down by now, trust me. But yeah, dad's got to go easy on the nose because, you know, this is reconstructed.
Well, so what I've learned,
brand new.
This is a bit. It might be hard to follow this, but to understand, dad, the robot man from the YouTube server,
the one that I'm fighting,
the one you're fighting, is a clone technically. They grew him based off of my image. And also he has all of my knowledge and information. And this other guy, Anden, who's from another planet, they pumped this robot with all the information that I've ever learned. So he has all of my training in him. So whatever I've learned, he learned, but now he's off learning his own things too. And he's like, there's a video coming out. Because I can log in and see all this. There's a video coming out of his training on Monday. I don't know when this is going to go up. It'll probably be out by the time you guys put this episode out. And he's like, you'll see how he's been training. I don't know what he's doing, but I hear them down there. I'm in the facility now too. I'm technically trapped in a VCR. This is wild. I don't expect anyone to understand this. If you watch the Dad channel, it'll maybe make sense. But that being said,
Nathan's life is insane.
It's
unlike
wild.
Anything we've ever seen.
the situation I put myself in is so convoluted. But if you watch my channel, Dad knocked me out. I'm not fighting for anyone who's listening. Matt is fighting Dad Bot. Anyway, Dad Bot, if he's using what I've learned, might have gone easy on your face, because something I've been doing in my training is I genuinely feel bad about punching the person. It's hard to make myself sometimes. I do aim for the forehead because I feel like it's all open with the headgear in the front. And my coach goes, stop punching at the forehead. He goes, you have to hit the nose. And I'm like, well, we're sparring and I'm not going all out. I don't want to just break this guy's nose during a sparring. Like, I'm just trying to learn. And honestly, I like more like getting hit to learn how to block and stuff. So when I do punch, I feel better punching in the forehead for some reason. So I wonder if he has those instincts. Maybe he won't aim for your nose.
I honestly, I'm hoping so, because, if my nose gets broken during this match, it's probably going to cost me $5,000-$6,000 and it might not even look good anymore. Yeah. I might Owen Wilson myself. But I have a similar thing when I'm training, like when I'm sparring, is like, I'll have a really good punch that I can land, but for some reason I just stop short. Cause it's like, I feel bad.
I'll pull your punch a little bit.
Yeah. It's like I stop before I actually, like I could have landed it, but I stopped. Cause I almost feel bad.
Exactly. I do the same thing.
I'm scared to punch my coach.
And like every time I land a good shot in like sparring or something, I'll immediately like step away and be like, are you good?
I say sorry all the time. I go, sorry, because I can tell I went hard on some of them. Mm-hmm. And I say sorry. I'm like in there and they're not saying anything. Because I'm just, it's probably all because we're not boxers and we're like comedians and gamers or goofsters. Whatever. But like we're just a bunch of professional goofsters and we don't want to hurt anyone. It's weird. It's not in my nature to punch someone.
No, it feels really weird.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this is all new to me. I mean, I've punched Ryan a few times. You've punched me a few times.
Of course.
So what friends do. Friends,
you guys
friends.
Ever get in a fight? When you're younger, like a real fight or anything?
I've never been in an actual fight.
I haven't either.
I got one.
Really?
What, and like we're straight up punching each other in the face. That was,
oh shit.
I think I was 13 or 14. We're skateboarding in Medway, Massachusetts on the bike rack. We were grinding the bike rack and my friend Tom was just standing on it and no one could go and like grind it.
Fucking Tom.
And he was just Tom Bodge. He wouldn't get off the bike rack. And we're like, Tom, get off. And I was so annoyed and I just wanted to punch him. So I walked over to him and I just punched him. And it was the weirdest thing. I've never done that before. I was just like, he did get on your nerves. He's kind of like an annoying guy. He later went on.
He deserved it.
He got in a few car accidents, I think. I bet I shouldn't be talking about this guy's life, but he's kind of a mess.
He's been through a divorce, you know.
Lost a child.
He's sterile now, actually.
Yeah, so we can't have another child after losing
and
one.
It's all from my fist. I ruined his life. Set him on a horrible path.
You did. It was all from that.
But we got in a scrappy fight where I punched him, he punched me, and then I didn't like getting punched anymore. I just kept jump kicking him. I kept like jumping in the air and kicking him so he couldn't get at me. And I kept kicking him in the stomach so he would like stay away from me. And then he got me at one point and like headlocked me and we like rolled off the curb, rolling all around the pavement, just like punching each other. And it lasted maybe like a minute and a half.
Damn.
And we got up off from the fight and instantly it was this weirdest thing where I felt so bad and he felt bad. I could tell where I was like, hey man, sorry. And he's like, yeah, I'm sorry too. And he's like, oh, you punched me pretty good. And I was like, oh, you got me really good too. And we were like best friends. It was the weirdest, craziest emotional roller coaster in 2 minutes.
I punched my cousin in the face once when I was like 12 and immediately I was like, I'm sorry. And he started chasing me.
Because he didn't want to get
and
hurt.
As I was running from him, I was like, I'm sorry. And when I ran, I remember I hopped in my mom's lap and I started crying.
Oh, God. How old are you?
You punched someone in the face and then ran to your mom so you couldn't face the repercussions.
Yes.
There's so many stories about you as a kid. You were such a little shit.
I wasn't a little shit.
You were a little shit. He pantsed his sister like at some like big event.
I didn't pants her.
How old were both of you?
I lifted up her skirt.
Oh, sorry. That's any better.
No, I can't believe I did that. No, my sister was presenting at a science fair in front of like a whole like,
oh my God.
People, and I thought it would be funny as a little kid to like, whoop.
How old were you?
I was like 4 or 5.
Okay, okay.
And when like I punched my cousin and started crying, I was like 10 or 11, I think.
Okay, that's still pretty little.
But he could easily kick my ass back then. So I,
yeah.
It's because he was throwing remember those little like those like poppers, like the psst, like they don't even hurt you.
Yeah.
But just the little like ones that come in like the gunpowder,
cap gun thing.
He wouldn't stop throwing those at me, and I was really scared of them. I was scared they were actually gonna hurt. And I was like, stop. And I just did like, it was like an instinct. I didn't know what to do. And I just turned around and I just right in the nose. And he was like, fucker. And I never heard him swear before. So it was really scary.
Oh,
and
man.
His nose bled like this, you know? And
wow.
I ran up. It was at my cousin's house.
Tell dad to get ready.
Tell dad to get ready.
I'm sure Dadbot is listening to this because he listens to everything on YouTube. They control the website. So they're probably hearing this.
Transcribe
instantly.
It all in his brain. Mm-hmm.
Because what he's learning right now is when you punch someone, you run away and what was the other thing?
Well, this was 15, 16 years ago.
You cry.
This was early 2000s. So
you're just a long boy now, though.
Yeah.
I was a boy that got long.
Exactly. I was short. I was short then, you know, and my cousin, you know, we were just like with Tom. We were rest of the night. We were cool with each other, and we hung out the rest of the night, and it was all chill.
It's like a bonding thing. It's just caveman mentality about, like, you know, you can be intense and then best friends. I think that closeness of the battle or whatever brings you close.
Yeah, no, I'm just always checking.
Okay.
I'm just checking the audio to make sure everyone's being recorded.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I when I saw the blindfold,
I stare off. Sometimes
I saw and I was like keeping it going so that you wouldn't have like a gap to try to edit or something.
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry. We cut it all up.
Yeah.
But yeah, fuck Tom and welcome to episode 291 of Super Megacast.
Wow.
Yeah, if you haven't gotten the gist already, this is our guest, Nathan Barnett.
Hi.
Wait, you might know him. What?
I've always said Barnett, but it's spelled with an A. Is it Barnett?
It's Barnett.
Oh, Barnett.
I've always said Nathan Barnett.
You can say it like that. That's fine. Like,
okay,
most
Nathan,
people say.
So
you don't have to accent the A as hard. Sometimes I overdo it, I think, and it's like, Barnett. It makes it too much of a thing. It's just Barnett. I say it's a softer A because it
very
is an
soft.
A.
Barnett.
But the normal name is usually an E, but it's because when like whoever came over on the boat from Lithuania or whatever, it was, I think it was, it's not this, but it was similar to this. It was like Bear Natausius was the name. It was something, it was Lithuanian and or Swedish or something. I think it was Lithuanian. And the person who registered the, you know, my great grandfather or whatever, great, great, great grandfather or whoever, they just said Barnett. That's it. They just cut it down and made it to a new version, which is not the normal Barnett. So, yeah, there you go.
ATT. They'd just be like, yeah, this has been your family name for like centuries, but.
I can't say it,
so
that's not it. So
let's just go ahead and just shorten it and make it all.
A lot of it is to avoid like racism or persecution. Like a lot of like the change, like what I feel like the Irish McGee, MCGEE.
Yeah.
They Americanize it and then just go MAGEE.
Yeah.
Usually it's like Mickey. And now it's like Muggy.
Well, it'd be capital M, lowercase c, capital G. And they're like, let's just Muggy.
I guess my family was like, no, we're
Ryan,
American?
Maggie?
We're American.
When we had that Irish guy narrate our...
Jacksepticeye?
No, not it. Was Jordan Peterson. When that Irish guy narrated our Area 51 video, he was like, Ryan Maggie.
Yep.
Yeah, I was... Watson is from... well, I don't know what directly it's from because there's like several ones it could have been from. I've seen the list.
Is
it's
that
like
a British thing? Because I think of...
It's Scottish.
Oh, okay.
No.
UK,
it's
least,
Scottish or British.
Because I obviously think of Watson from... Sherlock Holmes.
I'm like 99%
because that's
British.
All I know about that word.
And like my 23andMe, I checked. I was like, oh, I can't wait to see what I am. And I thought I would like obviously I knew I was going to be like 99% European, but I thought that there would be like at least some more like diversity in there, like a little bit of like Slavic, maybe a little bit of German.
Yeah.
No, dude, it's like I'm like 95% just British.
Wow.
And like the smallest bit of like Irish, a little bit of Scottish, like almost no German, no French, no Slavic at all.
Wow.
Like a little bit Ethiopian.
Oh wow.
And a little bit Ashkenazi Jewish. Just a little bit.
Oh wow.
But the Ethiopian
How far back does that go, you think?
Thousands of years maybe. I don't know.
I mean, we've only been around for around like 6,000 years.
Well, yeah. That's when the earth was created.
Yep.
But yeah, basically it came from either Mick Wattison. That's a good one.
Oh.
McWattison.
That's my favorite one to think it came from. There's a couple different ones, though.
Yeah.
I mean, son of Walter. That's like what Watson means.
I watched it. I like Irish names. I mean, it's really obsessed with them. there's a girl I dated. Her name was Siobhan. That was the first name I didn't know how to pronounce. It's spelled Siobhan. And I was like, what the heck is this name? But that's like one of the more famous Irish names is Siobhan. But then there's a segment on Stephen Colbert with what's her name? Saoirse.
Saoirse. I was just about to bring that up. Yeah, it's spelled so weird.
The Irish
yeah.
girl. They did this whole segment where she's like, they're like, she would pronounce because like the audience and he didn't know how to say these words. It was like Xerox was like the spelling of some of them. And she would say the real spelling. And it's like one of my favorite things is just looking at like Irish names because they're so crazy and they have more consonants. They look like Russian names almost. And
yeah, the language
and it's
Irish
like
is
Ian.
Yeah.
Ian is like C's and X's and stuff.
Yeah. Just throw all that extra shit.
Osh Ian was one of the names. It looks nothing like Ocean, I think. I don't know. I can't remember. It's wild.
Some
though.
Of Polish. They just throw a bunch of C's and X's and Z's and it's like, oh,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
a Polish
yeah.
name.
Yeah. Voski and all that stuff. Yeah. I think I'm Lithuanian and I'm a little bit African. It's Guinea.
I can see it.
Yeah. I don't know what to say because if I say anything, it won't sound good.
Bit Guinea.
Is it Guinea?
Call him a Guinea?
No, I didn't call him a Guinea. No, I didn't. Isn't Guinea?
Is Guinea in Africa?
No, Guinea's.
I'm saying the wrong place. My mom would kill me. She tells me this all the time.
Where's old Guinea?
What's that?
Ghana?
No, I don't know. Oh, well, here's the thing. I should find out right now because my fifth great, and it's my dad's fourth great grandfather, was a famous fiddler from Africa who was buried in Cornwall, England. He married a British lady. He's from Africa. He was a slave or something. And then he like got famous as this fiddler. He was like one of the first famous musicians. And he's my great-grandfather, great-great-great-great-grandfather.
Wow.
And he is why I'm part African. I can't remember his name. There's only like a drawing of him because it was from like 17 something or whatever.
Is that where you got that beautiful head of hair from?
Well, no.
Someone's got a little brand new, little hair. You know, because last time I saw you, didn't have quite the.
No. There's a little more dust up there now.
Transplant seems like it's going well, huh? How is that? How is the transplant? Does it like hurt or?
It doesn't hurt because you're like numbed up, but I only did it because it's like for the characters and stuff. And,
oh,
like,
okay.
I was cool being bald. Like that's like my thing. That was like I'm known for it. So like, yeah, I put a post on Instagram, but I just don't want to talk about it too often.
Oh, okay.
It's like, I mean, I don't try to focus on it because I didn't want to have like, I'm not trying to ever have like a big head, so full head of hair because I can't because I'm fully bald and there's not enough to pull from.
Yeah.
But I did do it. Yeah. But it was because of the characters because I can make it messier. I can do like a comb over now and it's easier than gluing hair in my head. So I didn't know you're going to bring that up.
Sorry.
Oh, that's good. I don't normally care.
We can cut it out.
Whatever. It's all right.
If you want me to cut it, seriously, that's okay.
Well, okay. I talked to Matt. I talked to Matt earlier. I said, just don't bring it up because it's like awkward and
it's a little goofball.
Weird. Yeah. Yeah, right.
I know. We clown on each other.
We'll cut it out.
Yeah. You're not boxing. You don't have to be mean to me anymore. You're boxing dad, not me. Yeah. Dad bot.
But you guys have the same head of hair, so.
Yeah, well, it's true. He is cloned basically after me, but now I have this great.
Yeah, well, sorry.
Anyways,
we can talk about all the
drugs you're doing too. Your mom actually commented on that. Did your mom see the things you guys put on YouTube?
She does, but don't. She doesn't listen to the podcast. Don't bring up the drug stuff.
Okay,
she doesn't know. She thinks that.
Well, maybe dad will mention something in another diss track.
No. Please don't.
That's what
she commented on the last one.
I know, he didn't mention anything about that. So, but,
you said my drug addicted chest.
Yeah, but like that could mean anything. Like,
yeah, but she worries about me. So I don't want to like worry her.
All right. I was just trying to be, I'm just goofing around.
Yeah, that's fine.
Sorry.
Are we good?
We can just cut all this out. Yeah.
Sorry. I didn't mean to make it awkward.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring up the hair transplant.
I was just a little annoyed that you said that. I'm not trying to be mean, but I just wanted to.
I'm just two wrongs don't make a right. You know,
I know.
I'm
trying to figure out where to
just cut back in here.
We're
talking about nationalities and stuff before.
We were talking about national. Okay.
Yeah.
Where are you, Ryan? What is your ancestry?
From what I know, I am Palestinian, Irish, Dutch, Indonesian.
You gotta fucking.
And that's all I know. I haven't taken a test. That's just all from.
You should
what
do
I
a 23andMe.
My grandparents. Yeah.
I was supposed to do that 23andMe too. My whole family's done it except for me. And my mom was like, "Oh, you will might be a bunch different than your brothers. Like I might have more African in me than he, my brother Josh, does, which is kind of wild. I thought it would be sort of. Yeah. Even,
I thought that
but you
too.
Never know.
I thought that like my sister and I would have the same percentages, but we don't. It's yeah. different.
Because
my
get more of whatever. Yeah.
My grandparents on my dad's side are just both whiteys.
Yeah.
Both straight up whiteys. My dad's a whitey.
Where are you from? What state?
South Carolina.
South Carolina.
We're both from South Carolina.
Oh, you both are. Did you guys know each other before?
No, we didn't know each other in South Carolina.
That's crazy.
We met each other
out here.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah, no. People
That's
think
wild.
We've known each other our whole lives. We only met in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do seem like you were best high school best friends kind of thing.
I know. We only met in 2015. Like,
wow. Was like that on the Markiplier stuff? On editing?
Now. Yep.
We it, did. Mark. Well, Mark's not the
that's
reason.
That's crazy to me. It's
that we
it's,
met.
It's
Mark's the reason I came out here and then ended up with Ryan. And
but we
and
met
Dale, but,
because our friend Daniel was really better friends with you.
Yeah.
And I didn't mm-hmm. talk to you at all because you would send me annoying shit on Facebook and I didn't know him. He'd like send me like porn ads with my grandmother in them and stuff.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know you.
it'd be like a porn ad where it's like my grandmother sucked me off. And I just grabbed like a picture of Ryan with his grandma from like his Facebook and I'd send it to him because I thought I'd be like, oh, he'll think this is funny.
It's
and
like, it's
talk
like,
to me.
And I'm not like, if
That's
Daniel said that
friends.
To me, I'd laugh. But it was just because, like, I didn't know you. I'm like, what is
Wait,
this?
Wait, see,
because
I knew Daniel. I thought that, like, if I knew if I sent it to Daniel, he'd laugh. So I'm like, oh, I bet Ryan's the same. So I...
You were right. Matt's a little... He's a naughty boy.
He is. I'm a bit of a naughty boy, yeah. I'm a bit of a goofball sometimes. But, yeah, we met through our friend Daniel because I was making YouTube videos in my freshman year of college, and they were making YouTube videos on their channel, Syndigo.
Like, yeah, you were kids with problems.
Mm-hmm.
They were Syndigo, and then we were like, let's make a video together. So then I flew out to LA in May 2015, and then that's when we made Blonde Boys.
We filmed our most legendary video.
Legend.
Wait for it. Dairy.
Oh, I was like, well, how long
Syndigo.
Is this gonna go? What channel was it on?
Syndigo.
Syndigo was the channel.
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure because I never find a channel of yours of just you on YouTube. Do you not have a solo channel?
I used to post stuff like back in 2014, I think it was 2014 and the beginning of 2015. I would post movie reviews.
Are you forgetting about the 200 subscribers? Thank you, Spencer.
And the 200 subscribers. Thank you. I made a machinima. Do you know what that is? Where you
yeah, yeah. They,
like
I was. I almost
blue.
Signed
still
with
have
them
that?
A long time ago.
Huh?
I would love to see that video again, dude. That
I think,
that,
I think
that would take me back.
I think I made it public just because people were always like.
That's so funny. That's like on. That Mr. Beast video where he says like, you know, I want to have like 100 subscribers and then really be really popular. And now he's like the number one. You ever
what?
See that?
No, I've never seen
it's
that.
One of his first videos on his channel. He's like 15 talking about how he wants to have like 1,000 subscribers.
It's
and
seven
he hopes
years
to do
ago.
This for his job.
That's
and
awesome.
It's wild.
Yes, dude. This.
Is that gameplay or is that from Red vs. Blue?
This is because you can go
he
in
made this
theater
himself.
Mode.
Oh, you can.
Yeah,
oh, I didn't
so I
know
just
that.
Made this.
This is awesome, dude. This is bringing back so many memories.
Y'all are so amazing.
So it's not even you in it. It's just like the game and then you say thanks?
I go into the game as the avatar and do what I need to do. And then I go into theater mode and get the shots that I want.
Yeah.
Was that Babus font?
I think so. Like Babus New, maybe?
We used to all, you me and Daniel always used that
It was
font.
So clean. It was when we watched the documentary and like gushed over the Helvetica font a lot.
Helvetica?
Too.
I was just going to say.
It's still clean.
Second, my favorite font
Second
ever.
Favorite font.
Still great.
I found a better one. Mm. When I... Was,
you don't want to give it away?
I'll give it away.
Oh, shit.
The dad channel uses it because they ripped me off and took everything. This is a long story. People aren't going to understand it. But yes, I did the dad character on my Nathan channel in 2017. And then it got ripped off by this woman, Cheryl, who created the robot. Long story. But they use the same font. And it's something Source Pro. Maybe it's just Source Pro.
Something Source Pro.
Something Source Pro. If you search Source.
Is it on Google Fonts? I have that font.
Probably. I use it in a Premiere. That's where I discovered it was in Premiere. It's very
it's a great
thin.
Font.
There's a light one where it's really thin.
Really light, yeah.
And then there is like normal.
There's like
thick.
15 of them in the
yeah,
family.
There's a bunch of them. That is so clean to me.
It's off of a Google
love it.
Fonts. It's
Yeah. It's a good one.
Google Fonts has really clean fonts. I like simple fonts.
Me too. I love Wes Anderson. I got into Helvetica because of like Wes Anderson movies, because I'm pretty sure he uses Helvetica.
It was Jackass for me.
Oh, Jackass uses Helvetica.
Yeah, the Jackass logo.
Helvetica is like the great, lowercase. You don't need another font. Yeah. Helvetica and Comic Sans are the only two fonts that need to be done.
Absolutely. Papyrus.
You know, oh, here's a cool Sanskrit story. The guy who created Comic Sans is from my town of Milford, Massachusetts.
Really?
Which is the title of a short film on my channel.
Yeah, I watched that the other night.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Milford, I and that guy are the two most famous people from Milford.
What?
In Milford, Massachusetts. Yeah.
Damn. Okay. So
I think he died last year or this year, I think. So now I'm the most famous person from Milford.
Milford, Massachusetts.
Was he not included in the Oscars, like in memoriam?
It's a shame. Probably because he died. It's also because it's the most hated font in the world.
Oh, but it's so...
It's loved, Papyrus but hated. Papyrus is more hated
than Comic Sans.
Really? I always thought Comic Sans was like the one.
My least favorite font ever is that one font. It was like built into Windows. I forgot what it's called, but
Wing
it's like...
Dings?
No, the letters are all
Wingdings too, yeah.
It's like a real goofy one, but like the letters have like...
I know what you're talking about. I don't know the name of it.
It's the ugliest font I've ever seen. And it was on every computer back in the day.
Does it have like balls at the end of each one? Like almost like a joint? Like an elbow type, but it's rounded.
It had like...
Or like the spikes of and the it was N. All,
let me see if I can find it because it's disgusting.
Dude.
Skia?
Mom, I want Babus for Christmas. But we already have Babus at home. Impact.
Fuck it, dude. I love fonts. Is that what it's called?
Fonts are awesome.
Yeah. I tried to make... a couple years ago, I was like, I'm going to make like the ultimate like font like collection for myself that I'm going to have on a hard drive that I put on all my computers. And I had like one day where I downloaded like... I like handpicked like 1,500 fonts. And I was like, this is awesome. And then I don't know what happened to it. I just lost it.
Oh, gosh. Your font drive is gone.
So and now it's like every computer I work on, because I work on 3 or 4 different computers between like my house and our Super Megaplex and stuff. And they all have different fonts on them. And it's just like, I wish that like fonts could just...
I wish they were universal or everywhere.
I wish every computer had every font. Let me find this one. I'm pretty sure it's called...
When I'm on my phone, if I'm making like a thumbnail or something on my phone and I can't get that source one, I always use Helvetica, and I don't think anyone ever notices the difference. So it's always the safety one.
Is the other font like just a little shorter?
It's just like, I think it's rounder in the joints and like the curves and stuff. I don't really know the difference. It's like a simpler, more futuristic sort of Helvetica. Mm-hmm. It's cleaner. It's like modern
Futura.
Sci-fi. That's how I think of it.
Futura is the font.
Futura is a good one too.
The Supreme logo is Futura.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Futura is good. I like that one.
Classic. Garamond.
Maybe that's the Wes Anderson one. No, I think it's Helvetica.
I'm trying to find a...
I love big titles over like wide shots. It's
thing. I love the airplane title in the movie Airplane. It's like,
Real
big. It's like the old, like blocky letters. Yeah. I love a good sans serif font without the feet. They're called feet, right? Like the...
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, and it doesn't have like the L, you mean? The bottom of the L? Is that what you're saying?
When
it kicks up, when it doesn't have the little...
When it doesn't have like the little feet. So, you know, it's like some fonts, like the S will have like, you know, like the little bars at the end of each letter.
Yeah. Yes.
That's
because that's what makes it look old timey.
Without, right?
I like without.
I like without a lot. Too.
Otherwise, it looks like typewriter or like cowboy font or something.
Yes, sans serif. Sans serif?
Sans?
Yeah, I guess we would say sans because Comic Sans. But
see,
technically,
I like
the
Comic
word
Sans
is
more
songs
than Papyrus.
Oh, I hate Papyrus.
I can't
is the worst.
Papyrus.
It's the Avatar
it's
logo.
The fucking worst.
Papyrus is.
I see it in so many goddamn businesses in South Carolina that, like, it'll be like a Greek restaurant or something.
Like a hookah lounge?
Where it's trying to. Yeah, it'll be like.
That's hideous. That's right? Yeah, it's always at like a. It's always a menu font.
Yeah.
Yes.
At a Greek restaurant.
A basic restaurant. Yeah,
an Indian restaurant.
Yep.
1982, it was created.
Really?
Papyrus is a widely available typeface designed by Chris Costello, a graphic designer, illustrator, and web designer created in 1982. It was hand drawn over a period of 6 months. By means of calligraphy, pen, and texture paper.
6 months.
Category is fantasy. I can see that's like elf font.
Like as a kid, that's a font you'd be like, oh shit, I'm gonna make this look interesting on a PowerPoint. I'm gonna make this look eroded.
Especially in the 90s or something. It's like cutting edge.
I was on the cusp end of floppy disks. So in elementary school, I was using floppy disks
And then I feel like around middle school time, I started using more like USB CD stuff.
Yeah, yeah. What year did you graduate?
2012. And I was 24.
Oh my God.
I'd like, high school, not college. That's insane. I never graduated. To me.
My biggest year, I always say the best year of my life was 2012. I'll tell you why. And now it's all been downhill from here. Although this boxing thing is really changing things for me and turning things around. Because I'm literally milking and sucking all your followers. It's, hey, pretty, it's pretty great.
Milk and suck away.
I will suck all of your followers if they come over.
I will take
them over to me.
I found the font I was talking about.
What is that?
Joker, that's, man. Yes.
Joker?
Joker Man.
Joker Man.
Do you remember this font?
I do.
It's the worst font.
That looks like Joker, Dr. Man. Seuss font almost, right? It's awful. I can't tell from here. I have bad eyesight.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
That's horrible.
Can't stand it.
When there's shapes and stuff in a font, that's kind of 90s, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
it looks like.
That's like old school Windows font.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember floppy disks. I remember, like, cause my dad was an architect, and he would do all of his stuff on, like, a really old Mac.
We'd have to turn in projects on that shit.
Yes. I remember having to turn, like, shit in on floppy disks.
Mm-hmm. I graduated in 1999. My whole... Really? Yeah. Like, I am so much so older, like, than
in,
you guys.
In college, you were still using floppy
disks. I didn't even go to college. I went for 1 year. I went for...
yeah. Okay.
I'll tell you. Hey,
at least I went for 2 years, buddy.
At least I went for one, so...
Hey.
Well, ow. Sorry, dude.
I didn't go to, I went to UMass Boston for one semester. I was a theater major. I got in a play. I was the lead of the play. It was called Cinderella Waltz, which was a spoof on Cinderella.
You played Cinderella?
I played the village idiot, actually.
Okay.
Zed was his name. Yeah, he just played himself. I did. And I didn't think I was going to get it. I was so timid and I was so shy kind of at the audition or whatever. Otherwise you'd be like a stagehand or you'd be whatever if you didn't get a part. So I auditioned, I got the lead, and I was the village idiot that Cinderella falls in love with. And I get smarter throughout the play until I become very well spoken and I teach her this lesson. And it was like a really cool part because I changed so much throughout. I had to play like the caveman. And then I became like the ravaging hunk. Would you say ravaging?
Yeah. Ravaging. Yeah.
Ravaging hunk, I guess. Anyways, dashing. It was a cool. And then I dropped out because the next semester I didn't want to do any of their stuff. I didn't want to like do other parts like carrying sandbags around or whatever. So I dropped out.
Well, once you play the honk, it's like,
I was like, my career is
nowhere
set
to go
now.
But down, mm-hmm. You know?
Exactly. So I was also auditioning in Boston for commercials. This was 2001 or something, 2000, 2001. I was auditioning for commercials and I was booking tons of commercials in Boston. And I was like, why am I in school for acting when I'm being paid to act now? And I was making videos and putting them on DVDs. We had a DVD called Life on Fruit Street. My mom and dad lived on Fruit Street in Milford, Massachusetts, and we made sketches and stuff. So I was doing all that stuff and I was like, why am I in college? I'm just going to drop out of this. This is like spending money for nothing. And then a year after, I moved to California, which then leads me to 2012, 10 years later, where it was the best year of my life when you guys were graduating. I was on the cover of LA Weekly. I had my own shoe, a Nathan Barnett shoe. I was a Skittles spokesperson.
I remember the Skittles commercial.
I met the love of my life. I bought a new car. I bought an Audi. Only new car I ever owned.
Was that from the Skittles money?
It was. It was from the Skittles money. I wanted to have a nice car. I never had a good car.
Do you still get Skittles for life?
I could, but I don't really bother hitting them up anymore because the people who I was working with are already kind of gone.
Wait, like they give you team. Free Skittles?
They sent me a pallet one time, a pallet of boxes filled, raw cardboard boxes just filled with Skittles. Not even the packets with like the bags.
Just a cardboard box.
Loose Skittles.
Imagine carrying that in the bottom drop down. Like walking like into a bank with it and the bottom just caves.
It was crazy. I had this pallet sitting in my driveway. We put it in there. I had an arcade at the time. My garage was turned into like 15 arcade cabinets. It was a year of my life. I had a party in Santa Monica at my apartment. Eric Andre was there. The Workaholics guys were there. I'm pals with Martin Starr. He was there. And at the time, I didn't think much of it because I was like, oh, these are people I know. And the Workaholics just got their show. So it was like kind of a thing. And Eric Andre wasn't Eric Andre all the way yet. But then these people came from Whole Foods that my friend worked at. And they were like flipping out about all these people. And I was like, oh, that's when I realized like, oh, this is my life's pretty cool right now. And we're all young. I was jumping off the roof of my apartment onto this bouncy house. This is all 2012 when you guys are graduating. I was living the height of my life.
Dude.
After that, all came crashing down. I don't hang out with Eric anymore. Yeah. Audi is gone. I'm driving a dented minivan. Don't have a girlfriend. Don't have Skittles.
No Skittles.
No Skittles.
That's the worst part.
So, yeah. those Skittles boxes I got, I'd give them out to people for presents because like, I don't know how to do these. So I'd give them to people and then they would take them. I heard one guy said he wrapped it and gave it to as a wedding gift and he handed it to them and it ripped out of their fingers. Like I didn't know it was going to be so heavy and it fell to the ground and it didn't bust open.
Oh, thank God. That's a good white elephant, like keep passing on. Like it's just a fucking mat. They seem heavy.
You're taking handfuls of Skittles for like months out of these boxes.
Skittles, but that would just fucking kill me.
I had a Skittles vending machine. They sent me a custom vending. Only Kim Kardashian, the Jonas Brothers, and myself got these.
Was it in a video?
It's in a video.
Yeah, I saw that because I remember.
I'm only bringing this up because when you said earlier, I'm not trying to brag or anything. It was obviously cool, but like nothing else is cool happened to me ever. My life has been crappy afterwards. But because you guys graduated that year when I was like feeling like my success of my life. And now it's all.
And now you're on the super mega cast.
No joke. This is like everything I've been doing with you is and interacting with you guys on like Twitter and stuff. Like when I was saying like I'm taking all your followers, my followers and my subscribers have been going up so much because of the whole boxing match against like Matt and just being involved with you guys. Like you are literally changing my life.
Well,
because I've been on this website since 2005 and everyone forgot about me. I'm the old man. I'm the oldest one in the boxing event. Well, Dadbot is.
Here's the thing. They might have forgotten about you, but they're not going to forget about these ad reads coming up.
I was about to. I thought you were about to say something. I was going to interrupt you with these ad reads.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm actually going to take a pee.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angi.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Dude, my absolute favorite type of humor is awkward, dry humor,
mm-hmm.
which didn't really like come around until like, I feel like almost like 2012, 2013.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's when you started figuring out.
It
was more like
thing.
Slapstick before that, I think. Well, you would know better because you're a comedian that was more sentient during the time.
I like physical and slapstick stuff. And that's like always gets a good laugh because like it's easier. But I do love like Andy Kaufman and like Borat and Sacha Baron Cohen.
Awkward, like Nathan public. Fielder. One of my favorite comedians.
That's the best.
He's probably my biggest. Nathan Fielder and Eric Andre are two of my biggest inspirations for comedy, just because Nathan Fielder, the way he never cracks. And the way he creates these awkward situations, he is sort of autistic.
I've interacted with him a bunch. We had the same agent for a long time.
Oh, really?
And every time I called, the agent was like, "What, Nathan?" And I was like, "Who's this other Nathan?" And I Googled him and I was like, he was nobody. He had like some YouTube videos.
Yeah,
like
he was from
videos.
Canada.
But then he got his show and it blew up.
I watched the pilot when it aired. And I was like, I love this.
It's so funny.
I've seen every episode of that show so many times.
It's hilarious. It's amazing. I don't know if it's done now. It probably is because he was saying, I don't know what else to do. He's like, I think we did it enough.
Yeah. I know he's working on that new, I think HBO series with the Safdie brothers.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, yeah. He became friends with like big people. People love him.
Yeah.
Which is great for him.
And then probably for me, like the biggest inspiration for like my editing style and Ryan's and stuff is like not the Eric Andre show, but Check It Out with Steve Brule.
So good.
Like
Tim and Eric shit too.
Yeah.
Steve Brule, I think, is next level funnier yes. than Tim and Eric.
Yeah, I think it's Steve Buhl's top tier for me.
He is such a good actor, and it's a lot of it is him. And I know they're directing behind the scenes and kind of saying stuff, but like it's mostly him. I love Tim and Eric. Doug Pound, I'm pals with him. He is the reason Tim and Eric is what it is, in my opinion. He's the editor. Okay. He's the one that started the whole awkward, weird editing and the zooms and the tight shots and the meow. DJ Doug Pound is he's the reason, in my opinion, why Tim and Eric is visually what it is.
Steve Brule. Just
but Steve
like,
Brule.
I think Steve Brule tops Eric Andre's show and Tim and Eric for me. Just because of like how stylized it is and how it just John C. Reilly is incredible as that
character. He's so funny. He's so funny. I love that kind of one of my like we were talking about Skittles earlier. That's like one of my favorite characters is Trey Lowouse. That was before Steve Brule even started doing his thing. And I always got the comparison because visually we looked similar with like the wildness of us. And then the talking, I love broken, busted sentences, like saying the wrong word, but you understand what they mean. And the guy's like struggling to get through it. And you're like, this guy's just a crazy personality. I love that kind of comedy of a lunatic.
Like when Steve Brule is like trying to run a show. Name.
Yeah.
It's like, this is
Jimmy Brungen. Everyone's someone Brungen.
Yeah, it's
and
like Brungus.
Broats instead of boats. It's always a R. He throws an R in
dirty
everywhere.
Church.
Some Broats.
Broats.
I've cried laughing at like a handful of things, and Steve Brule is no number one.
Oh my God.
I have to pause it.
I do too.
So hard.
When I was in high school, I showed all my friends that show. When he goes to Ron Don Volante's playpin, home of the $5 lap dance.
I've been wanting to do, because I want to take my characters out of what I do have done with them and put them in a setting like the trail character, the Skittles guy. I want to put him in a setting sort of like, what's it, like Steve Brule, because I feel like I could thrive more and like make comedy like stands out more like that. Otherwise, it's just me standing in front of an alley with a tripod and it's like, so limited. I just want to like have an interview, a guest. And if I'm in character, I did it once with my peg leg character, Ray Amsley. And like people thought I really had a wooden peg leg. And it was so fun. And like, it was the most thrilling acting I think I'd ever done because they had no idea I was in character. And they were like asking me about the peg leg, but trying to be like nice about it. And I was just like going crazy and yelling things. I got people off Craigslist and that so the Steve Brule and that whole like pranking someone, but not telling them. It's like my favorite.
That's why I love Nathan For You and Steve Brule and stuff. Yeah. It's like
Nathan For You is genius.
Yeah.
Really?
It's so good.
Honestly, yeah. It's like pranking people. I guess it is a form of like pranking.
But the prank, it's a prank, but it's more on you're making yourself look stupid. That's what I always like to do. When I do my live public stuff, I try to look like a crazy person in the streets and see how other people interact with me and avoid me. That's the comedy. I don't want to like annoy people too much or like make them look dumb.
Get in their face.
Yeah. And I'm not like making them look stupid. It's like, oh, it's making them look sane for running away from me,
right?
But that's what you want to see is the reaction.
You're creating like an atmosphere of just like awkwardness, and that's what's funny. I mean, like Borat and Bruno do that too, but they that pushes more so.
He pushes where he's invasive.
He pushes where he is making fun of the people because he gets them to say these.
Yeah.
Awful, well, they're. I mean, they kind of ever making fun of themselves because they're the ones saying it.
Then he pushes exposing them themselves
just the right way to say just like
exactly.
He gets them to say the worst shit.
I my friend Paul, I was talking to you guys earlier before we're recording, my friend Paul, who is from Massachusetts, he came out here a couple years after me. It was me, my brother Seth, and Paul like work together on like all our stuff, like all our big shows and the pilots and stuff we do are with like, a lot of the big commercials are Paul will direct them and like write stuff with me, my brother and I. Paul recently worked with Sacha Baron Cohen on an Adult Swim commercial. Oh. And he said, it's like, you can't say anything to him. He's just, guys just doing things. And he's like giving signals and stuff to like the producer to get things to happen. To like get, it's like, he's like, it's like you could study the guy all day.
I've heard
like break down every moment of like what he's doing, where he's turning the right way to get the person to turn, to get the person in the background to see something because it's going to be awkward or funnier when he's about to say the thing he's about to say. And he's just like manipulating the whole situation to get what he needs because he knows what he needs.
He's really like crazy kind
anal
of
anal about his,
yeah.
About his, and it was like an Adult Swim commercial that no one's going to see. It airs for a week. And he was like, so all over it. And like, he called my friend Paul, he goes, Mr. Director. Cause he didn't remember his name.
Mr.
So he called
director.
Him Mr. Director. And Paul's like, oh, that was at least that, he acknowledged me as the director, even though
said
I
said, Mr.
Nothing.
That was that, you know,
and he's
or Sir Director would have been nice too.
Yeah. That would have been nice.
I love the video of him as Borat breaking character. Cause he's upset about like the people making noise.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, just stops and he's like, can they be quiet please?
That what is that, when did that
it's
happen?
Just a video like from set where like a clip from Borat 2 where he's like walking with like the town behind him and there's like some people off to the side because they film it and I think they film it
also
in
it was like a film one of the part. Moments where it was like more of a scripted thing.
Yeah, it was a scripted one.
Yeah.
People being quiet and he like stops and like goes back in like his British accent. He's like, why are they talking?
Yeah.
Can they
be
quiet?
It's, you always forget he's British. He's so like regal sounding when you hear him speak. And then he like looks like a lunatic and he's doing the most vile things when he's in character.
They filmed it in Kazakhstan. I mean, they filmed those parts in Kazakhstan.
Did they actually go to Kazakhstan? I thought they went somewhere else and made it look like Kazakhstan.
Might have been Turkey, which Turkey, Nathan, is known for its hair transplants. Have you ever thought about going to Turkey for a hair transplant?
It is.
Because it's cheaper.
Oh, I didn't know about that. What?
I'm sorry.
Oh, God. I did actually hear that. If you do want to talk about it.
No, I'm
thinking about it. Completely
forgot
something.
It, and I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Are you thinking about it, Matt? Is that why you brought it up?
No. No, yeah, I don't need it.
Are you losing your hair at all? How old are you now?
No. I just made the connection because I keep looking at your hair transplant while we're recording this. It looks good. It looks great.
I mean, I think it looks natural.
It does.
It is what I looked like at 10 years ago. It's the same hairline that I had when my hair was going. I said to the guy, I said, I don't expect to have a full head of hair. If we're talking about, you're making me talk about this all the time. I didn't want to have a full head of hair because I can't, because I don't have enough to pull from. And I thought, well, if I'm going to have it for the characters and mess it up for stuff, give me the Bruce Willis from 90s. Just give me a receded hairline. And that's what he did. But apparently, yes, you can go to Turkey and get a hair transplant.
Sorry.
If you want to keep bringing it up.
I didn't.
For some reason.
I legitimately forgot. It's hard.
All right.
I'll make a joke. It's kind of hard not to bring it up.
Oh,
I'll say
gosh.
That.
Well, it's also kind of hard not to bring up like the legitimate crack cocaine that was on the coffee table when I first walked into this place. What the heck is that?
We just call it crack. We don't need to say the cocaine.
I mean, I don't do crack. Drugs, so I thought it was just called crack cocaine.
Well, is that, if my mom so listens that is to real. This, it's, there is no, it's prop crack cocaine. There's no, yeah. I don't.
No, man. There's ashes. It was burnt. The something was smoked. It's like, it looks like you were using it on the coffee table. Is this your place, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's obvious.
I think
something's that, going on here.
I think that like the hair transplant thing is like something everyone can see, but like the drug.
Yeah, but I don't talk about it. Like I posted on Instagram a long time ago and I let it get buried.
That's not something like
everyone knows you do drugs.
But if you're going to bring it up like ironically, you don't have to like legitimately mention the stuff in the office.
I mean, I'm got backed into the corner. I'm just defending myself.
I mean, at the end of the day, this is our podcast. I didn't mention the transplant. So like
but
I don't know
up the
why
crack brings him into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's yeah.
And my mom, I don't want to worry my mom, and he doesn't want to worry his mom because he didn't.
I'm not mad at you. I'm just like I don't see why it's
straight up just making fun of me and backing me into a corner.
No,
and like,
it was a joke.
I'm staring. I can see right out the door right now. Like what? That my eyes looked and I saw. Like what do you want me to say?
Oh, sorry. Next time you come over, I'll make sure I put all the crack away in the cupboard.
I mean, maybe it's not crack. I don't know. I don't even smoke weed, but like maybe it's. But it doesn't look like what I've seen from marijuana.
It's not. It is crack. You got that right, but.
Why do you have that? You can't be doing that.
Don't put this in.
Cut this out, Ryan. Yeah, of course.
Why would you? For real though, you don't do that, do you?
Where do we leave off?
I don't know.
Of course, I smoke crack.
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Sacha Baron Cohen.
I mean, okay. I'm like
training. For
I feel like shaky
match,
now.
I
feel like I'm.
Can you tell?
I actually
training?
Feel
look at that.
Awkward.
Look at those.
Right
are you scared of those?
Not at all. I do feel weird, man. I can't keep talking. I feel like I need to take a break or something because I feel like. Almost like, you know that feeling you get when you like almost get in a fight?
Yeah.
And I have that and I don't want to because like,
I'm sorry.
It's weird.
Okay,
I
didn't mean to make it awkward. Let's
I know. I'm not trying to move on. I'm trying to like relax.
Let's all take a deep breath.
It's actually awkward.
Yeah, let's take a deep breath.
We have water if you need it. Do we want to take another break?
I'm all right.
It's not enough time for an ad.
I just can't like, my brain can't get back to like goofing around right now because that's, like, you're kind of being an a-hole, man.
We can just talk about, you can just, if we don't want to joke around, we'll probably like build back into that. But if you just wanted to go over like what you've been doing personally about training.
All right. Sorry, dude.
I'm sorry. We'll,
it's okay. Okay.
Let's take a deep breath. 3, 2, 1.
Speaking of Sacha Baron Cohen.
He's in shape.
Yeah.
He is.
You're in shape too.
He is. He's like muscular. Have you seen I followed his wife because I had a crush on her after Hot Rod.
Follow her home?
I wish.
Y'all have a similar build, huh?
He's really tall. He's like Matt's height, maybe. I think he might be 6'4".
Yeah, but in terms of muscle mass?
He's muscular. I saw that because of her post, whatever her name is, the actress.
Isla Fisher?
I'm in love with her. I don't remember her name.
She's beautiful.
Yeah, Isla Fisher.
Isla Fisher.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, he's ripped. And I guess I'm not ripped, but I'm in shape because I've been swimming. Swimming is a key. My coach told me about swimming.
I've been wanting to
wish
for cardio and stuff.
I joined
a
gym.
I don't know where
I
go to. There's rec centers, I guess, like YMCA.
There is a pool somewhere around here.
I don't know if I trust LA public.
Actually, you know what? There is one.
There's an outdoor pool. Do you guys talk about the town you're in?
Not, we don't talk about where we personally live, but people know this is Burbank.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Cause, in Burbank, there is a bunch of outdoor pools I swim in, but they're usually in summer. So maybe there's an indoor one, but yeah,
our neighbors have pools. Maybe we can just kind of climb the fence. Ooh, go for a little dip.
One of the neighbors, a guy across the street, literally backed out of his driveway in his very expensive car at like 20 miles an hour right in front of me.
That's
and
what
expected
they do.
Me to stop, I guess.
That when is
I was
what
in,
they do.
I was the flow of traffic and his wife really stared at me like, what are you doing?
Why they
are
act
you
stop like you're the welcome one in the world. Like, they'll drive right past stop crazy. Signs and like look at you. This okay.
I've had this problem
this in
yesterday. Areas of LA a lot.
Burbank,
yes, drivers.
And Glendale. It's Glendale as well.
And you turn right.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two lanes to turn right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the far left one, so I'll be in the left lane because I know I have to turn left.
Yep.
Because I plan ahead.
Yep, yep.
The other driver to my right is in a truck. He's supposed
to
stay
cut
in
across
the right
you.
Lane. In the middle of the turn, he starts to come across.
Would that blink or anything? Or
huh?
Did you use a blinker or did you just
no,
go
he
right
just started coming across. And so I honk at him to like, hey, I'm right here. You're
yeah, yeah.
run into me. And I see he looks over in his mirror. He's like 67, whatever.
Yeah.
He like looks over his mirror and just
flips
just
you off.
Flips me off in the mirror and just drives off.
Dude,
I'm like,
LA
how
is
in your
insane.
Head do you just think that you're the good one? Or do you think people are sometimes comfortable with
I think it's like
every
a,
driver around
it's like
stuff.
A self-entitled, like, I don't care you're mad and I'm flipping you off to let you know, don't tell me I'm doing something wrong
yeah.
because I can do whatever I want.
Yeah. Like,
but you can't. You shouldn't, like...
It sounds like a cliche, and I don't like ever saying bad things about LA because I absolutely love LA, and I always talk about the good things because everyone's always talking about the bad things of LA, and it's like very hip to, like, trash the pollution and the drivers and, like, you know, lame Hollywood famous mm-hmm. ego people. But driving is actually really bad.
It's hell here.
If he did yeah. that to the wrong person,
Glendale
though?
Is the worst, has the highest insurance for yeah. cars because it's the worst
know,
drivers in the country.
When I lived in Glendale, that was the first time I... got a car
mm-hmm.
And that's the first time I had to get car insurance, and that was in Glendale.
Yep.
And I was like, why is this so expensive? And that's when I found out, because yep. Glendale has the worst drivers in the entire country. The insurance rates are the highest, and Burbank's not far behind.
Yeah.
And
the majority of people in Glendale have very nice cars and
yes.
they drive fast. And I'll tell you a little story. When I got that Audi that time in 2012, it was very easy to drive fast because the car just moved and I didn't realize how fast I was going. So I think maybe that is part of it. It's like some people just don't know when you're in a BMW and it's so, so smooth and so strong and powerful. It's like just goes and you forget how fast you're going. I then switched from that car. I got rid of that car. I was like, this is stupid. It's too much money for me to spend on a car. I got like basic cars after that and like whatever Toyotas and stuff. And then I had this 1972 BMW, but it was like a tin can. It was very old, only had four speeds. It didn't go over like 40 miles an hour. I went from the extremes of like how bad I can drive with a nice car. And I think it's because all these people have nice cars and they're so entitled. Also, when you have money, you think you're cool and you just don't care about other people. I didn't like being that way. So I got rid of the nice cars. I didn't want to become that kind of person. So I got the slowest car possible and it put me in a reality check. But yeah, Glendale, super expensive.
We got hit in Glendale once. This guy rear-ended us.
He
was fucked up.
Kind of like fucked up.
I think he was on like painkillers or something.
Made a call and some other dude just came out of nowhere.
Some guys like showed up to the scene. He just like called some dudes. They showed up and then we just kind of left because there was no damage.
I could talk all night about the crazy accidents I've seen in LA and the weirdness that happens during them and after them. People straight up running away.
Oh, hit and runs
yeah,
are so
all the time.
Here.
I experienced that in 2006 when I first moved here. My friend Jared got hit twice. He parked his car in a neighborhood street. But then he walked to the gym in West LA twice. His car got, he walked, came back up to the gym. His car's just crushed. Like the doors just crushed. No, nothing. People just hit the cars all the time. I saw this one girl. I was coming from the Upright Citizens Brigade at night, coming back to Glendale. And it was like that road where you're driving. I can't list it, but you're getting up, coming up to the, you're going towards like Universal. It's like that side road that goes along the highway.
I know
and
you
get
out.
On the
it's
highway.
The LA River.
Yeah.
And there's like
kind
a Universal.
Of.
Lots on the other
if you're
side.
Like leaving like that Scientology Center area, that famous one near, you know, the Upright Citizens Brigade in Franklin.
Yeah, yeah. We did UCB.
Well, around there, you're getting on the highway. I was getting, there's a person, a girl came off. She came driving straight off the highway, didn't stop and slammed into an apartment building up onto the sidewalk.
The
and people
fuck?
Head on. They both got out. It was, she looked like a model, like a cliche, like blonde, long hair, skinny, like very attractive. And the guy was like a hot LA guy. And they were in one of the big Range Rover SUVs. And they both just started walking away. I was driving my little BMW and I was right behind them.
They started
walking
away?
They started, both of them started walking down the street. And I was like, oh, they're like on a daze or they're confused or whatever. And I was like, stay right here. Everything's okay. Someone in the apartment or I called 911. I can't remember. And the guy started running. He ran. He was scrambling up the hill, like vines and stuff, to escape the situation. And as before he left, he goes, I can't be here. I can't get caught for this. They were both on drugs. And she started wandering around, didn't get far. Police came, saw her. And then they found the guy. And that was recently happened again with my friend. And I got hit and the guys tried. They didn't have licenses and they weren't illegal in the country. And they started driving away with like two broken front wheels. And the car was going, it was like wasn't driving after they hit us. And then they started like twisting it, saying like, oh, you're going to get sued for being in the road. And we're like, we're just driving through a green light and they sideswiped us or whatever. Anyways, there's been so many situations in Los Angeles of like insane accidents.
You gotta be careful.
And everyone tries to run away from it.
Yeah.
The craziest one I ever saw was I was in an Uber on my way to Burbank from Glendale. And I see this like white sports car, fucking, it was like a Porsche or something, goes like past. It had to be going like 110 miles per hour. And then not even 5 minutes later, like my Uber pulls up and stops in the highway. And I'm one of the first cars back behind this wreck that had just happened.
Yeah.
And it's that car and it's completely ripped in half. And there's another car that's just totaled that I guess he hit and knocked them off the road. And the guy that was driving the white car that hit the other person gets out and he's like screaming and he's like going to try. He runs to try to attack the people from the
people
other car.
He hit.
Yeah. And then
people live in their own.
No, I know.
Dude, seriously.
I get just pissed off listening to like dude, people's acting like this.
The craziest part though is there was evil. This black Escalade that pulled up really fast. These guys in black suits jump out. They grab the guy trying to fight the people. They get him in the car and they just take off.
What?
And I was like,
you saw this?
Yeah. I asked Ross. Ross was there. I was like, dude.
I wonder if it was like his bodyguard type people and he's like a famous rich person or something. And they were like getting like, him out of the situation.
You can't be assaulted. You can't assault someone. Like,
and also, we gotta got to get you out of this wreck. Because I guarantee he was driving under the influence.
I wonder if they were like part of his party and they're like driving behind him or something.
Yeah, I think
and they were coming after him. Did you ever hear the crazy story about, it was a couple years ago in Glendale. The guy lived in Glendale. His family was really worried about his driving and he thought he was going to kill himself. They sacrificed a goat. This was like, I got in the news. And so this is where it gets really, this is twisted. That's not the twisted part. They sacrificed a goat in Glendale to help him as a thing they thought to do from their like culture or religion or whatever to help this guy because they thought he was going to kill himself. It was on the 5, if you're coming from Burbank into Glendale or going to like Atwater area.
Yep.
You know where the golf course is on the right. There's an exit right there before Atwater. There's a sign up above.
I saw this.
The guy crashed, went out of his windshield and went up and splat on that exit sign up on the green, like 30 feet up. He hit it and he was laying up on the little, this ledge up on the thing. And I heard about this. People were talking about it. And I drove by like the next day and I saw the stain from the dude on the sign. And the goat, I think the worst thing is poor goat died for nothing because that a-hole just got killed. And
I saw that. I saw pictures from that. It was on Reddit or something once where it was just like this guy crashed his car and literally aimed it up on the exit sign.
Yeah. It was unbelievable.
I mean, you have to not be wearing a seatbelt.
No, definitely not. Or he's just going so ridiculously fast. It just like ripped. He rips right through everything.
That's insane. I know that exit and I take that exit all the time. I didn't know that was the exit.
It's so that sign.
Now every time I pass that sign, I think about all the time.
They changed it. I remember one time they like removed a part and reprinted or whatever and
I see
cleaned the sign.
I always wonder like, because if you drive on the highway and you pay attention to it, usually you don't think about it. But if you pay attention, you'll see like big red stains on the highway sometimes, like splatters. Yeah. And I'm like, I wonder if that's from like someone, like from a car crash.
You just reminded me of the most traumatic experience I've ever had. I can't believe I forgot to I have to tell you the story. It's another car accident. This is a pretty morbid episode you're doing here. I'll say it quick. This was 2012. I lived in Santa Monica. My girlfriend lived in Silver Lake and I drive it late at night to go see her because there's crazy traffic till like 10 p.m.
Yep.
I was driving on the 405, almost at Culver City, it was about Culver City, and there's no cars on the road because it's like 11 o'clock. And then I see a car in the middle of the street, a person like walking around. Then I see smoke and I see another car. I'm coming up all these cars like slowly. I started slowing down and I genuinely thought I was in a scene from a movie. And this is like, you're so used to like, I was working in a lot of commercials and doing a lot of TV stuff at the time. And it's just like, everything's fake in LA, you know, and everything's
a set.
My brain went there. I was like, oh, what's happening right now? Cause there's no one around. It didn't seem real. I pulled over and I even got in the lane because I was running over to all the cars. Cars were smashed. People were all over the highway. There was a guy with his head against the steering wheel going like making noises. And there's this one girl screaming. She's like, get him, get him. I was like, it was pandemonium. There was a guy walking down off the highway, down the bushes into like the slants into like off the highway. I didn't know what was happening. Then the fire department showed up. It was like the weirdest thing. It was so creepy. It was so silent. The fire department showed up. They got out of the truck. And I was like, there's a guy over there. His head's like, stop. I think he's alive, but he's like making noise. Go to him. I was like trying to like, I was just screaming and saying stuff to these firefighters. They didn't look at me. They didn't speak. They didn't say anything. They just quietly. I was like, are these like robots? No one's reacting. No one's saying anything. They walked over. They looked at the guy. Walked over in a car, looked at the other guy. They're assessing the whole situation so calmly and coolly. It felt to me a little too slow, but I guess this is how they're trained to do it. And then one fireman was like, you can leave. Just don't stick around here. We just get out of here because we have to like do stuff here. And I was like, I almost didn't go into shock because I should have, but I didn't think it was real. It was felt so surreal. And I remember I told Siobhan, the girl I was dating, about it. Like, I couldn't stop talking about it all night. I was like, I can't believe I just saw. It was unbelievable. There was like dead people and stuff all over the street. Sorry, I'm talking about this. This is so morbid, but like you brought it up. You're asking. I was like, I gotta tell this one.
That's insane,
this is the big one. It was wild. So yeah, sorry. This is the worst episode you've ever had.
No, this is a great episode. It's a great episode.
Who would want to listen to that? I'm just now thinking, like, why did I tell that?
No, I enjoyed listening to it.
I guess it's something I experienced and I kind of just wanted to say because it's like, I still can't believe I saw it. It was wild.
Layton told some pretty fucked up stories.
Really?
Our employees about okay. Work for Facebook and what he had to see there.
Wait, what? What happened there?
Film type shit. Because people, you know, his job was to basically like go through people's like private messages and flag things for like terrorist activity. Oh, wow. And he would see like everything.
Layton, who I met?
Yeah.
Holy crap. That's
he actually wild. Just got a settlement from Facebook for it. Because all the people that had that job, there was a big class action lawsuit. They just gave everyone a settlement.
Why? Because like it was post-traumatic and stuff like that?
Because people got like really fucked up.
I wouldn't be surprised. That's insane.
I saw like everything. What else is insane is these ad reads.
I do get a lot of people like from your audience who just say they want me to beat you. It's so funny how they're like against you, but they're your fans.
No, that's like kind of like a repertoire. They shit on us, but like, because we gaslight them so much, they gaslight us. Like every top comment in a video will be like, it's like,
I don't know if those ones are the gaslighting type though. They might be truly rooting for your death in the ring.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we'll have to see, won't we?
We will.
Find out. Woo! It's funny because that merchandise with the tombstone, I thought that'd be a really funny idea. I was like, oh, maybe a couple of my audience members would buy some of the tombstone merch with your name on it.
Did it sell well?
I think I haven't checked the numbers, but like I get a notification in Discord every time someone buys that merch from that site and it's going off quite a bit. People are getting the underwear. I saw it on an apron last night. Someone got an apron with Matt Watson's headstone.
Someone's going to be out there cooking dinner with just my
so
gravestone.
So funny. I was thinking this is kind of like smart because it's advertising your name. It gets you out there. I mean, I'm making all the money off it. But then I had to put my name on it somewhere. So I wrote paid for by Nathan Barnett. So they remember.
I laughed my ass off when I got mine and I looked at it and I saw that. I thought it was hilarious.
I was like, okay, that's a way for me to get my name in there and also be like bragging that I like, this was my idea to like put your
name
on
it. I laughed my ass off when I saw that.
Otherwise, it would be like just an ad for you and I wouldn't be benefiting from it. So I was like,
see, Nathan's selling all these shirts and my tombstone on it. If I end up actually dying some point,
you said
in
that
the next,
earlier
like,
and I felt bad
or
like,
something,
oh,
those shirts are
going to
be really awkward.
I think that
everyone's
going to
have that shirt and be like, oh,
yikes. Yeah. Well, maybe they'll be worth more.
Here, if I die sometime soon, you guys can still wear those shirts. I give you permission. It's totally cool. It's not disrespectful.
I'll give them out half price.
There you go. What would you do if like I'll just like one day, like a couple weeks from now before the fight, you know, you and I, we're talking about just like, you know, fun stuff, you know, nice repertoire. And you just get like a knock on your door and it's a guy and you're being served and I'm suing you for,
using
my likelihood.
Your likelihood. Well, there's actually another Matt Watson who's pretty well known out there. We don't know what Matt I'm talking about on the
show.
There's
several Matt Watsons.
Yeah.
There are. There's the car wow guy.
I know there's a
bunch of them.
Isn't there a politician one? Or something?
I don't know about a politician, but I know about...
Maybe it's the car
guy.
Well,
it's the car guy.
That's
he has a YouTube channel, like a car channel.
Because someone asked me, they go, oh, the car guy? Or they said something that they thought I was
car
fighting.
Wow.
There's a journalist.
And I was like, who?
There's several journalists. One of them was very upset with
me. There's a YouTuber who found out about the whole like pedophilia shit on YouTube.
Fuck that guy.
Wait, what?
Fuck that guy.
What pedophilia stuff?
There was like, they're found out to be, in terms of like in kids content made for kids, there was like codes and signifiers from these groups.
Oh, that whole thing with YouTube section. When they started cracking down a couple
the
years.
Adpocalypse,
yeah,
like yeah. 2.0.
I remember that. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so there was a guy named Matt Watson involved in all that.
He's the one.
Oh, and didn't you have to say I'm not that Watson?
Yeah, I went on the official podcast, the Criticals one, and that was like right the week it was happening. And I think they brought me on that week because of that. And I had to go on and be like, that's not me. I'm not that Matt Watson. And the worst part about it was because it had to do with pedophilia, basically, you know, I'd been working on Superman.
Did you have a song called I Love My Dad at that point?
Yeah.
Where?
Yes, I did.
I specifically
state I'm 18 in that song though.
Okay,
I've been fucking my dad since I was 18.
Oh, okay, good.
For legal reasons. But basically what happens is because that's to do with pedophilia, this guy just dominates my search engine results. So it's Matt Watson pedophile. Matt Watson pedophilia.
Oh my
god. Matt Watson exposed. It's like when you don't search my name, it wouldn't be like Matt Watson Super Mega, Matt Watson YouTube. Like it used to be like Matt Watson age. It's like Matt Watson pedophilia. And I'm like, oh my fucking god, dude.
You should change your name to just like Matt Mega for it's your like your strange
campaign,
name.
And it's called hashtag wake up YouTube. And it all started from a guy known as Matt Watson. Now, before we get into this,
that's our old buddy Keemstar.
I'll save that.
You've been doing some live stream stuff with him,
Matt Watson.
And I know, I'm not trying to make any drama.
Yeah, yeah. But first of all, I'm not friends with this guy. I know, but
I do notice that you do push back, and I like that.
Very respectable.
Because there's times where he tries to talk himself out of like, I just sent him a picture of a witch, and he thought it's like, come on, dude.
You 100% know what you're doing.
I almost felt like it was so.
It had to be said. It's like the elephant in the room. That's the epitome of the elephant.
You called
in the
him
room.
Out beautifully. It wasn't even really calling out.
It was just
kind of
like,
telling him like you knew what you were doing.
No, I didn't. It was so stupid to listen to someone say, all I did was send a picture to AB with a picture of a witch. Because he's clearly indicating his wife looks like a witch. And it was just so obvious. I couldn't just go say nothing. I was like, oh, well, you knew what you were doing by doing that, obviously. And I thought he would go, or whatever.
He was like,
But he kept denying it. And I was like, dude.
Like an elementary school student.
I know.
Got caught in the cookie.
Exactly.
If he's denying it.
Literally no one believes him.
Isn't he like 50 something? Like he's got to be a little more like.
If he's denying it, then that just like, it's like, okay, so you're just that stupid then.
He's a grown man. He should be able to take things.
He also, he said in that conversation, what we're talking about here is for the audience at home is the boxing, this promotion for the boxing event that the organization called Happy Punch that Keemstar is now part of. It was another dude who like ran this thing who was like a boxing YouTube fan. And I used to go on his calls, and now Happy Punch has taken that guy. He's like the host and he is working with Keemstar and it's like a whole official thing now. But the guy who does the main host is a really cool dude who just loves like boxing and influencer boxing. So I've been doing it going on those. And now that Keemstar is doing it, Keemstar and I had a lot of beef up until a day ago.
Really?
Because he came into one of my live streams. He was in my game of Among Us. It was me, Nexpo, Justin Wang, Night Docs. That girl, Creepshow Art, was in there. She got like canceled or something. There's a bunch of people playing Among Us in like the very beginning of the pandemic. And I was in character as Dad. And I said, I listened back to it too. And it could sound like I was nagging him because I was trying to get his attention because everyone's talking. And I kept going, Keemstar. Because I was trying to say, I was just trying to like break the ice to say something to him at first. And I was in character to be like, oh, I'm in a character. I'll let you know by doing this, by going, I was like, Keemstar, why are you up so late? Cause he was in New York and it was late for me in LA. So I was trying to be like, you should be in bed. Very innocent, silly dad thing to say like, oh, don't play too late. And he just instantly twisted it. And like, he's like, who is this guy going Keemstar? And then Nexpo was like, it's Dad, the guy's gate server you're in, the Discord in the game you're playing on right now. And he goes, who is this? And I don't say the R word like for mentally challenged people and or the C-U-N-T word, but he said, who is this R? What a C-U-N-T. He was just going off. Like, because I said, hi, Keemstar, why are you up so late? I was like, I don't think it's at all deserving for what he said.
No, I mean,
so I kicked him out of the game.
He's a bit of a troll.
He got mad. And then recently on Tipster, there's a guy named Tipster on YouTube who talks about stuff. And he's been a fan of my Keith character for a while. And I chat with him in his chats because he like is into games and stuff. So I go in his chat sometimes and talk to him. And Keemstar was on the call with him recently. I didn't know this. I didn't know who was on this call. I was going to bed and I said, "Hey, Tipster, how's it going? Good to have a good stream. Getting up for boxing in the morning." And then Tipster goes, "Oh yeah, Dad's in that in the iDubbbz boxing event." And Keemstar goes, "Oh, Dad, F that guy. He's a loser, blah, blah." So what's going on? And I was like, what the heck? He's still, I didn't think he would even remember. He was still mad about it. So I sent Tipster, I shouldn't have done this, but I don't want having negativity between anybody. Like, I'm not trying to do that.
And I feel that.
I said to Tipster, I was like, "Hey, can you tell him, like, I didn't try to ever offend him. I wasn't trying to be mean. I don't care about him. I know like his thing is kind of drama and like starting fights or whatever, but like, I don't want to have that." And then so Tipster, I think, might've sent that to him. A couple of days later, I get on the first call for this boxing thing that we were just talking about with Keemstar. And then the next one was the AB one where I was defending AB and his wife and what Keemstar was saying about them, saying, "You know what you're doing, dude." But before that, I said, Keemstar was like, "Oh, Dad's in here. He's in the boxing event. I think the guy's a loser. I don't want to talk to him, but you guys can." And I said, "Well, hey, man," I go, "I have no problem with you. I don't dislike anyone, you know, whatever."
This
dude.
Is live.
Live. Everyone's listening. There's like 1,000 people on the Twitter space listening to this. And he insulted Dad. And I was like, "Dude, I don't have any hard feelings." And he goes, this is what he said. He goes, "I'll accept your apology." I was like, there was no apology anywhere.
Accept your apology.
Whatever we want to be happy. Like, I am down to keep the peace. I don't genuinely dislike the guy for any real reason. I don't think he should say some of the things he says. But, like, ultimately, whatever, man. But if you want to promote this thing, cool. I'm glad to be a part. And he has a boxing event possibly coming up. I would box on it because I just want to box and do more boxing after this. So anyways, it then led to what we were talking about, AB, because he has a whole thing with AB, who's on the H3 podcast.
He hates AB
for some reason.
Because he's linked. Because
he's connected to Ethan.
Yeah. But they had a huge beef.
But like, AB's wife is so innocent. And I know AB is playing the audio quotes of Keemstar on the podcast, so I guess that's his reason for disliking AB. I think
Keemstar goes for low blows.
Is AB the audio guy?
I thought AB played the clips. I really don't know, but I know since he's involved and maybe laughs at things.
Keemstar goes for really low shots, and like bringing someone's wife into it is exactly.
It was so unnecessary. Yeah. She's like not even like on the internet.
Well, it's just because he gets away with it every time, so he never faces any repercussions.
And he was making excuses on the call for like, "I didn't know he would think I was saying his wife was a witch." Then why did you post a picture of why did you even send that picture?
I just sent a picture.
I just thought he'd like to watch The Wizard of Oz. You never seen
it. Halloween. I was saying happy Halloween.
Didn't make any sense. But I was kind of calling him out. And apparently everyone in the boxing Discord was like, "Dude, I can't believe you said it." And I was surprised. I was like, "Oh, I was just kind of like being logical," I thought.
You were.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
I also got bullied very bad in high school. I had to switch schools because I was physically getting bullied and stuff. And my girlfriend got shoved into like a glass window and it almost cracked. It was a whole thing.
When Dad's in the ring, is he gonna picture his bully on the
is he gonna look at me right? All of a sudden all those bullies are gonna
all of Nathan's memories are in Dad bot. The bullies were a lot of different people, actually. One tall lanky guy who is one of my best friends now, but he was one of the bullies. So maybe
redemption arc.
Maybe there's some best friendship in the future. But Dad bot does have all of my core memories in him.
All that repressed rage is gonna suddenly just the second he steps in the ring just
I would cry all the time after school because I just was getting bullied bad. Yeah, it was
sorry
bad
to hear that.
And I finally got over it. I went to a hypnotherapist and it like literally changed my brain.
It worked?
I was bawling my eyes out. I was sitting with my 4-year-old self and my 14-year-old self, which is the one that experienced all the trauma. And this was when I was 31 or something, like 10 years ago. And it changed my life. I was going there to get over a breakup because I was like so sad about the breakup and I just didn't want to be sad about it anymore. And it all came, she was like, it turned into being like the reason I was so sad about the breakup because I never let go of all this bullying that I went through. And I was I'm still kind of an emo person because of it. Like I can cry easily because I feel like a kind of a loser and a victim a lot of the time because I had been for so long. And I feel self-pity, I guess is what it is. Yeah. But yeah, man, I got like thrashed all the time and I felt like a loser and everyone hated me. I got dragged. The football team, I was in a skateboard with my friend on the street, had a wallet chain on. This is like 95 or whatever. And they drove by and grabbed my wallet chain and pulled me off my skateboard. And I dragged like next to the car until my pant loops broke and my chain broke. And I could have got like run over by the wheel. It was bad. I went to a Papa Gino's, which is the pizza place in Massachusetts. And I walked in with my friend Jared, who also played football, but he skateboarded as well. He and I were skating and they said, "Jared, you can stay, but he has to go." And I was like, I'm not going anywhere. I tried to like stand up to them. And I was like, I'm going to eat Papa Gino's. And they went to the car, got baseball bats, and started hitting me in the back with baseball bats. And I just ran away. It was
I thought this
gnarly.
Stuff only happened in movies.
That's like, everyone
that's
says to me. Everyone says that to me. Medway, Massachusetts, man. It was a bunch of white, angry jocks. Well, it was really lousy.
I know this stuff really does happen, but it's just like, I just never hear about it. I just only see it in movies.
I was the freak because I don't know why. I looked like kind of like Kurt Cobain. I had like blonde hair to my chin. It was like long hair and I had stickers on my hat and I wore like long underwear.
That's what it was
underneath.
I
did a comment. One of the guys, my egg got sorry, I can't speak. My house got egged on Halloween one time. And this was the best. My dad is the coolest. My dad heard it happen. We were out trick or treating and the football team egged our house. And my dad instantly ran outside because he was like giving candy out and he was hanging out with my mom and her friend. And he ran down the street. It's a main street, like a pretty busy street. He's running down the middle of the street, chasing the car because he's trying to get the license plate number. And the cops came by and saw my dad running down the street. They're like, what are you doing? And he goes, those guys just egged my house. Cops chased them, caught the kids. And I had to go to a hearing because one of the kids, he was the richest kid in town. He thought I was going to sue him for all the abuse he was putting on me. And they wanted to have a hearing to like settle it. But like, we didn't want to sue or anything. They were like preemptively like trying to like stop us from retaliating. This guy was like messed up. He was very rich, very privileged. My parents like just did. He wanted him to go away. I ended up switching schools because just to get away from these kids. And then I got bullied there and I had to go back. And by the time I came back, those kids had graduated. So the bullies, I was bully free at that point. But yeah, my dad was like, no nonsense. He chased those kids down the street. And the kid told my dad to the face that my kids were freaks. And my dad's like, you're a little Hitler. Said right to the kid.
You're a little Hitler.
Yeah, it was gnarly. My high school was like pretty rough. And it was like, you wouldn't think so, but I guess I was the freak and I wasn't even that weird. It was like everyone was weird in the 90s. How old were you in the 90s? Like 12?
How old was I in the
90s? You
were born in 96.
Oh, God. 96.
How old was I in the 90s?
I was born in 94.
Nathan,
this was happening when you were falling out of your mother's, like that year. I think it was 96.
Dude, my earliest memory is 1999.
The year I graduated, the Dreamcast, one of my favorite systems.
It's my earliest memory I can remember is 1999, at the end of 1999.
Because you were like little fetus up until then.
Almost four.
That's so weird. It's so weird. Age is crazy because like like an old person. Like I feel, I don't know how you guys feel at 26 or however old you are. I felt 14 forever and still do. I feel like I got locked there. But my body keeps changing and I just don't stop feeling 14.
I feel like that was for me, except it kind of happened around like 21.
Yeah, that was like your
21
lock.
Yeah, that's where like I feel like my lock was.
Yeah,
same. And I recently, really only in like the last year, is the first time it's like, well, I feel like I'm like 21, but
yeah,
I'm not, and I'm 26 now.
No,
and like I look in the mirror,
it changes
when
you
my
hit
skin
30.
And I'm like
30, you start to go, oh, that now I'm like an old person. But 30 is not old.
I
am at 41 thinking, oh, I'm still not old at 50. I'm like, all right, but it always changes. It's like, oh, 30's old. No, 40's old. No, 50.
See, here I'm like,
can't get away from
I'm
that.
28 going to 30.
Oh, you're 28. You're older than Matt.
2 years. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, oh no, I'm racing towards 30.
Yeah.
But I mean, I heard 30s are awesome.
I mean, they always say, and it's kind of true, like every decade, the later we get in the future is like the new 20. Like, but then there's a point where you can't get away from. When you are 50, you can't be doing the stuff you're doing 20. You could probably do up into early 40s. You can be like partying, hanging out. But like, this is why I learned something right before the pandemic. It was like February before Corona hit. Mm-hmm. I go to Echoplex a lot and dance.
Oh, yeah.
And I like electronic music and I like dancing.
It's a fun venue.
They have like good indie nights there and they have mashup nights there that are really fun. And I remember going with my old girlfriend. We were like, everyone's our age. This was when I was 30, 31. Everyone was like late 20s, early 30s. And it was like hipsters and cool. And I went recently. All my friends kind of had left LA. A lot of people gone. I was still going alone. I was, I guess if I'm 41 now, I was probably like 39 or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't look like them. Everyone's got like cool everything. They're all like youthful in every way. And I'm dancing. I love dancing. And I just feel awkward. I feel like a predator almost because people will look at this older person and think, oh, he's probably trying to pick up young girls. Cause that's what most people do. I'm not trying to do that, but I'm just so thinking about them doing that. It ruined my night.
Yeah.
I felt alone. I felt lonely because I saw no one my age there. And that's a real thing. I used to think it wouldn't matter, but like you can't hang out and do the young person things forever.
You don't look 40.
I like, yeah, that's what iDub said to
me.
Actually.
I don't think
that's like, it's if, nice
if,
to
if
hear.
If I was there and I saw you dancing, I don't think it would ever cross my mind like, oh, what's this like old guy doing here?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I would just wouldn't even think about
like,
it.
Like, I have some friends who are older than me, like by like a decade, and they to me feel like older people. I think it's like the way you live and how you act.
It is. It's honestly like.
I do youthful things, I guess. I'm still making videos and I jump around a lot. I'm active and I dance. And then I think I'm kind of still into like youthful stuff.
Well, maybe I mean, you look great. I'm trying to.
I mean, it's my shape because of the exercising right now. Normally I'm just skinny and like, yeah. You know.
I'm trying to.
I used to look like Steve Brule. Now
I want
to
turn around a bunch of, because it's like I'm 26. It's like this is the. I feel like I'm approaching that point where like if I don't change a lot of my habits now, then they catch up later. And then also I'm trying to. Do like sunscreen every day and facial moisturizer because
I started doing that. My brother's skin is so much better than mine because he's on top of that.
Yeah, no, I saw a comparison where it was two twins and they were both like 80 and one of them did sunscreen and moisturizer like every day from when she was in her like mid 20s and the other one never used it. And it's like she looks like the 30 years young. Yeah, it's insane.
I have crow's feet right here because I never wore sunglasses until 2 years ago and I'm always squinting. I didn't like sunglasses. So I wear sunglasses now. I use moisturizer. I use sunscreen. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to look like, yeah, there's some people who I know who look 60 when they're in their 40s.
Yeah.
Because they're just like, you know, not active and doing the right things.
Well, some people are just naturally blessed with good skin.
Yeah, you do have good skin.
What?
Dan.
And his mom.
Oh, and oh.
Well, Danny as well. Well, actually, no. Danny kind of looks a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, old. Your skin is good, Ryan.
His hair and his skin. He's got incredible genes for hair and skin.
Yeah, you got thick hair, and you don't have any wrinkles in your face.
No, you don't.
Like, I always look at the eyes. Like, when someone smiles, if there's a little bit. When I was 24, I go trick-or-treating still. And in Santa Monica, when I was 24, when we first moved out here, a girl... I had face paint on and you can see crow's feet through like makeup on the face. You know, we were the Warriors from Baseball Fury. I think they were in the movie, The Warriors. I forget the baseball team. We dressed up as them. Girl who was my age. I was like, oh, I asked her out as she gave me candy. Cause I thought it'd be funny. It's like, oh, I'm trick or treating, but I'm her age. So may as well ask her for a date. And, she goes, I'm not going out with a trick or treater. And, I was like, what? I'm young. And she's like, no, you're not. You got crow's feet. And that's the first time I heard that. I was like, what? Oh. She was like, I see the wrinkles in your eyes at 24. I was like, then I always stopped and started thinking about it
Jesus
at that point,
Christ.
24 years old. Do you have them?
I looked up close in certain light. If I look up close in the mirror, I can kind of.
How do you tell if you have like.
When you smile, I have them. If you look here, it's like these little wrinkles. But then if you like stop smiling, you still see them a little bit.
Yeah, so I can kind of start to see it. Yeah. A little bit, like they'll if I look stay. Up close in the mirror and I'm like, oh shit. And also the fucking...
The brow. I've always had tons of lines on my forehead, even as a teenager.
See if you can see it. I'm doing this and you see this a little bit. When I do not do it, there's still lines like here.
Yeah, but that's not like age. That's just like your face shape. Because your skin has to go somewhere when you scrunch it. True. You know, your skin has to push against itself. I don't know. My friend has a little dent here under his forehead, so he gets it filled with something. It's like Botox, I think. So he doesn't have a dent. They just like squirt it every year or something.
In his head?
Yeah. He's got like a dent in his forehead. And he smiles. They just like, it's like a little empty spot.
Like a little transplant something in his head?
All right, man. He brought it up so many times. This is being ridiculous. I can't tell if you're doing a bit or if you're just trying to be a jerk. So this has been like an hour. We should just wrap this up. I got to go do other stuff.
I'm kidding, dude. It's
no, dude, it's not funny. It's like you're being mean.
I legitimately didn't think it was that big.
I mean, I thought I know, but like, it feels like you're teasing now. I'm down to go along with a bit, but it just doesn't.
Like when you said, don't bring it up, I thought you were joking. So I, it's like, I don't know why you need to be so sensitive about it.
I'm not sensitive about it. It's only because I have to like, go above and beyond to explain to people, and it just sounds like I'm making excuses about how I don't care about it, and it becomes a whole thing.
Well, I just try to care about it now because you're going so
exactly, and that's what I'm saying. It does sound like I care about it when
if you didn't get mad at me in the first place and say, "Oh, you don't have to talk about that," then
I just don't want
like
to
that.
Talk about it because it becomes a whole thing where I just be like, "I don't."
You made it a thing.
I mean,
we haven't finished the I'm just saying, like, we can't end on this.
Yeah, no, I know,
note.
I know.
And I'm like,
I truly don't care about it. I don't.
You don't.
But,
yeah, that's why
but
you're
I'm trying
such
to
a big
avoid.
Deal about
I'm
it.
Trying to avoid having to say, "Hey guys, I don't care that I get hair transplant, but I did do it just for characters because then it just sounds like I'm making excuses." So I just try to avoid the whole thing in general. I made a post about it on Instagram, and be like, "Look guys, I moved some hair on my head so I could do characters better." And yes, there's a bonus that I now have some thin bangs, but I don't think I have like amazing hair.
You made a post.
And it's
why
just
do you
not
fucking
funny
care if I bring it up
because it's not. I mean, it's. A, people might not be laughing. It's like, oh, he's just kind of being mean. I just don't see the comedy in
it's
that.
It's not mean, dude. It's a fucking just comedy podcast. Me. And you're the one that's bringing up the fucking crack smoking.
I stopped. And I could have said something right now. And you just
said you brought it up twice.
Because what am I supposed to do? You back me into a corner where I'm like, oh, yeah, I got a hair transplant because, you know, it helps me with acting. And it's cool, I guess, that I got. But like, you were straight up doing drugs, which is bad
drugs
for you.
Drugs help me with acting. Crack helps with fucking acting. Dude, shut up, man. Stop. You know what, dude?
All right.
I don't want to. Oh, what? You're gonna leave?
Can you just like delete the whole thing, man?
No, we're not gonna delete. Come on, dude.
I'll just cut out all the jokes.
I flew down here. It cost me $2,000. I didn't get to. That's not a podcast I'm supposed to do. I can't do it. I'm here literally for this hour for a weekend for $2,000, and it was just like a waste.
Oh,
of my
maybe
time.
You have more money if you didn't spend it on such shitty hair transplant.
Whoa! Hey! Stop! Hey, guys, Siri, fucking asshole! Stop! Fuck! Gosh! Hey.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.